Glad to see everyone back with us this evening. We'll be taking your Bibles and turning with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 will be our jumping off place this evening for our lesson. In the book of Deuteronomy, we have the final plea of Moses to Israel for faithfulness on their part to God. We find within this book three different addresses to the Israelites, and in that time span, we find the last 2 weeks of the life of Moses. And the time discussed in those addresses are the previous 40 years that they have spent in the wilderness, trying to keep things together so that they may one day enter the promised land. In this particular passage that we're going to notice this evening in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have Moses speaking to the children of those who had fallen in the wilderness. He's speaking to those that were 20 years old and younger at the time of their trespass against God, wherein the spies had gone into the land and that had declared, 10 of them anyway, to the congregation of Israel, we can't defeat them. We cannot take this land that God has promised. So God had condemned them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. That 40 years is now drawing to a close. And here we find Moses addressing the people, trying to plead to them to remain faithful to God. And he reminds them of the great blessings awaiting for them in the land to which they're going, and warns them of the consequences if they forget God. Let's notice together Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 20. Moses speaking says, "And when thy son asketh thee in the time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders and great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers." Notice there, in verse 23, that statement that should really stand out. He brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. That's the title of our lesson this morning, brought out, or this evening rather, brought out to be brought in. Have you ever stopped to consider how God has brought us out of certain circumstances and in to others? Let's notice a few of those this evening. Number one, this evening we are brought out of darkness into the light. We read in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Friends, as Christians, we are indeed called out of darkness, brought out of darkness into the light. If we were to go over to Colossians 1, verses 12 and 13, we would read these words, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Brought out of darkness into the light. Ephesians 5, 6 through 8. Paul writes to the Ephesian brethren, "Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the light, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light." Friends, when we look about us, this world is full of darkness, full of evil and evil deeds. We turn on the news each night, or we pick up a paper each day, and the headlines almost every day, undoubtedly, are something bad that's happened in the world around us. You know, a lot of times we turn on that evening news and they begin by saying good evening, and then they begin to tell us of someone who's been murdered. Darkness is all around us. That world is dark. It's deadly. But friends, we can take comfort in knowing that we have been brought out of darkness into light. Notice with me, if you will, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I want you to notice with me verses 5 through 7. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. John writing here says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Now let's notice this passage a little closer. Number one, as we see there in verse 5, where is the light found? It's found in God, isn't it? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And then verse 6, John goes on and he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, that is with God, but we walk in darkness. Friends, the word walk there, don't just skip over that word. The word walk in the original Greek here means something that is basically of habit. This is something that is a continuous action. If we say we have fellowship with him, the Father, and then walk in darkness, continually walk in darkness, he says then that we lie. Verse 6. We lie and do not the truth. But on the other hand, if we walk, if we continually walk, this continuous action of walking in the light as he, God, Christ, is in the light, then what does he say? We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Friends, if we have indeed been called from the light, or called from the darkness into light, then we will walk in the light. And when we walk in the light, when we continually walk in the light, we will have fellowship with the Father, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from sin. We can take comfort in that fact. Being called from darkness, brought out of darkness into light. Number two, not only are we brought out of darkness and into light, but we're brought out of the world into the kingdom of heaven. In Acts 19, 21 through 32, we read there of the church and the difference between the church and the world. At this time, Paul is found in Ephesus. And there begins to be a persecution against Paul and those that are preaching the gospel because of one. Let's turn there to Ephesians or Acts chapter 19 for just a moment. Acts 19. There's a man, verse 24, if you notice, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, "Sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth." What's Demetrius' problem? Paul and the other Christians had been preaching the word with such effect, had been calling the people out of the world into the kingdom of Jesus Christ so successfully that the temple of Diana at Ephesus began to be neglected. So much so that these people, these silversmiths that made these images of Diana to be sold to individuals, they were fearful of losing their jobs. We see the difference between the world and the church, called out of the world and into the kingdom of heaven. We notice in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10 that how we are called out. We're called out by the grace of God into Jesus Christ, by his words. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14 tells us just point blank that we are called out by the gospel of Jesus Christ. called out of the world into the kingdom of heaven. But friends, we're called out of the world that we might be a citizen of that kingdom. John 18 and verse 36, Jesus speaking unto Pilate there as he's headed to the cross, standing before Pilate on trial. Pilate asked him that question, wanting to know about this kingdom of which Jesus is said to be king, and he says, my kingdom is not of this world. Of what world is it? Friends, it is the kingdom of heaven. As Christians, we're brought out of the world into the kingdom of heaven. Number three, we are brought out of darkness into light. We're brought out of the world into the kingdom of heaven. We are brought out of bondage. Number three, into liberty. Galatians 5 and verse 1, we read these words. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Friends, when we have been called unto Christ, when we have been brought into Christ, we have been set free. Jesus himself said what? You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Friends, if we are going to be free, truly free of sin, then we must serve Christ. We must serve God. Notice with me Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Romans 6, 17 and 18. Notice the words that Paul writes to the Roman brethren. Romans 6, beginning in verse 17, we read, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Notice the past tense. Ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. Ye became the servants of righteousness. We are brought out of bondage into liberty. Number four, another circumstance that God brings us out of to bring us into something else is that God brings us out of abandonment and into adoption. As we read the New Testament and the Old as well, we see that the Gentiles, for the most part, there were some, it seems, that remained faithful under the laws of God. But the Gentiles, for the most part, had abandoned God, and as a result, God abandoned the Gentiles. Romans chapter 1. Gave them up unto vile affections. They had given up on God. God gave them then over to vile affections. However, we read in Romans 9, 4 through 8, that God called the Gentiles back into the fold. God called the Gentiles by the gospel, and through that obedience, we are adopted into the family of God as His children. In Romans 9, 4 through 8, Paul speaks there of that adoption, being brought into the family of God. We read as much in Ephesians 2, 11 through 13, we read there that we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. If we go to verse 19 there in Ephesians chapter 2, we see that as we obey the gospel, friends, we are made fellow citizens in that kingdom of heaven. Brought out of abandonment and into adoption. But then number five, we're brought out of sickness into health. Notice with me, if you will, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Notice with me verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Notice a word here. The word wholesome. That's what we're talking about here, being brought out of sickness into health, friends. The words of God, the word of God that we hold in our hands this evening, is the wholesome word of God. It is by that word that we can find spiritual health. We'll go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. We read there, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Paul writing there to the young evangelist Timothy. Tells him to hold fast. What kind of words? Sound words. If we were to go back and we were to look and see what this word sound meant, friends, it means to be in good health. Whole. To be whole. Luke 5 and verse 31, Jesus kind of gives us an illustration that makes this point clearer. We read there, and Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Friends, if one is whole, if one is healthy, he doesn't need a doctor. But it's when one is sick. So as we consider this, what does that mean to us? Friend, sin is a disease. It's a sickness of which we can only be cleansed, of which we can only be made whole by coming in contact with the blood of Christ. And so God has brought us out of sickness into health. In Luke 7 and verse 10, we read there of a sick servant. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. Jesus had healed him. Even that same hour. Would you be whole tonight? Would you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Friends, as we read there in Deuteronomy chapter 6 concerning that address of Moses, God brought Israel out of Egyptian bondage for a purpose. He brought them out of Egyptian bondage to make a people for His name. He brought them out of that bondage to have a people who could worship Him. He brought them out because He loved them, and He brought them out to bring them into the place of promised rest. God has brought us out of the bondage of sin to make us His people. He's brought us out of the bondage of sin that we might have the right to worship Him. He's brought us out of the bondage of sin to bring us into His place of final rest, which is called heaven. And He's brought us out of the bondage of sin because, friends, He loves us. As we read there in John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world. Friends, that includes you. That includes me. That includes all this world. That He gave His only begotten Son. Our question for you this evening is, have you come out of the world to become a citizen of the kingdom of Christ? Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. And let's be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friend, if you find yourself here tonight having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's no better time than right now. Jesus has given us a gift by dying upon the cross that no other world religion has to offer. For we serve a risen Savior. As we talked about in our Bible class this morning, when we think of Jesus Christ, compared to every other world religion, Muhammad still in his grave, Buddha in his grave. Where is Jesus Christ? He's on the right hand of God. Even as we speak. Friends, would you serve that risen Savior tonight? Would you come out of the world to be brought in to His kingdom? Would you be baptized for the remission of your sin? Do you believe in Him? Would you repent of those sins, confess Him, and be immersed in water to be washed, have those sins washed away? Are you here tonight, friends, having done those things? As we read in 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7, we must walk in the light as He is in the light. It is then and only then that the blood of Jesus will continue to cleanse us from our sins. If you've fallen away, would you come back and walk in the light this evening? And continue to walk in that light for the rest of your life. Would you make that commitment tonight? Friends, if you have need to obey the gospel or to come home, would you do so now while we stand and while we sing?